I apologize for not being as consistent with my my Divrei Torah as I have in the past, but it's been a hectic couple of weeks. I want to share with you a longer thought today, and maybe that will make up for it a little bit. Where Moshe Rabbeinu uses the word Eicha in our parsha, he says Eicha Salavadi Tarchachem Asachem Rivchem. And it happens to be that there is a minhag that the Baal Koreh reads it with the trap of Eicha. And so I guess the real question that we have to try to figure out is, what is the connection between that pasuk and between Tisha B'Av, other than the fact that they both have the word Eicha? That's my first question. And then I think the question is, what in general are we supposed to understand about the word Eicha? So I want to share with you a beautiful idea. It's an idea I heard from Rabbi Freyand many years ago. The very first question that God asks of man is Ayeka. Where are you? Adam HaRishon sins and God says Ayeka. Rabbi Freyand says, I believe quoting the Medrash, that Eicha and Ayeka are related. What is God saying? God is asking two very simple questions. Eicha is how? How could it be? And Ayeka, where are you? Within the where are you is how could it be? How could someone who is nurtured in Gan Eden, someone who is cared for by God himself, someone who heard the voice of God, all of those things, Eicha, how could it be that you fell so far? God wants to know that. How could it be? Eicha, but Ayeka, where are you? Where are you going? Where have you gone? What's your trajectory? That is exactly what we're wondering. That's what God wants to ask from us. Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, Eicha Salavadi Tarchachem Masachem Rivchem. How is it possible? How is it possible for me to carry these people? Part of the struggle, part of the challenge of leading the Jewish people is that it is so time-consuming. And the people want so much from you. And Moshe says, Eicha, how is it possible? I think there is a connection that Tisha B'Av is all about, that care and that concern. It's where you say, I legitimately care so much about everybody. And it's because I care so much about everybody that I ask the question, Eicha Salvadi, how can I handle this all on my own? It's just too much. What's asked of me, what's asked of my position, is just too much. But it only is too much if you care that much. If you don't care that much, it's not that hard. What makes Moshe Rabbeinu and several other Jewish leaders so uniquely incredible is that they care so much. And they spend so much of their leadership time not in self-aggrandizement, in trying to be amazing and all that, but what they spend so much of their time in is wondering, Eicha Salvadi, how could I do this? It's just too much to ask, and it is too much to do. Eicha Salvadi, it's too much. Eicha Yashva Badad is the exact opposite. Why is it that the Jewish people were where they were? Because Eicha Yashva Badad, yes, literally, it means Eicha Yashva Badad, is that the Jewish people, Jerusalem, were all by themselves. But I don't think it's so far from like the traditional explanation of the Psukim. I don't think it's so far off to say Eicha Yashva Badad, because they were Badad. That is how this all happened. That is how the Jewish people fall apart. It doesn't quite start that way, because Moshe Rabbeinu says it doesn't have to be. I can legitimately care so much that it'll all be good. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. That's not what happens. I want to share with you an amazing story that I witnessed with my own eyes. I was at a baseball game last week, and there was a person who was there, who was sitting right in front of my group, who, you know, for better or worse, there was probably something a little bit not 100% about him. And I was, like, talking with him just to, like, you know, get a sense of who he was and also to, you know, befriend him, since we were going to be sitting behind him for 2-3 hours. And as I was sitting, but as I was talking to him, okay, I made my assessment, I moved on. Well, my campers that sat right in behind him had gotten several baseballs chucked into the stands from players. Many of the balls had been autographed. And one boy had a ball in his hand and dropped it, and it rolled down to this other guy. And this guy is holding the ball, and the kid, who's 9 years old, 10 years old, says, "Can I have my ball back?" And the adult says, "Absolutely not, it's mine." And they're getting into a little bit of a fight, a little bit of a scuffle in terms of words. And finally, the kid, like, breaks down, and there's a guy that's sitting next to us, a Rebbe from Cincinnati, Rabbi Trapp. And Rabbi Trapp looks at him and sizes up the situation and says, "Look, if the boys are going to fight with this guy, it's going to be a big chil Hashem. But Nebuch, this boy won a ball, which is like such a big deal, and he's going to lose it. He's devastated." So he offers to buy him a ball from the gift shop. The kid says, "No, I'm not interested, blah, blah, blah." Fine. So the Rabbi Trapp tries several times. He talks to him. And the boy, finally, I say to like my head counselor, I'm like, "He's just got to let it go. Kid is fine. Kid's moved on. We're all good." What happens? We leave, and he tries to talk. He makes one last ditch effort with the kid. And I'm like, "Why? Why are you doing that? What's the point? Like, the kid is fine, and now you're making it difficult." But I accepted it as it was. We got to the bus. We leave. I get back to my hotel, and I get a call saying from my wife saying, "Expect a call from Rabbi Trapp. He wants to talk to you." It's like, all right. Rabbi Trapp had Googled the camp office number, called the office, got my cell phone number, and called me to let me know that he actually caught a ball. Two of them. And his kids were all taken care of. They had their own balls. He had one more left, and he wanted to share that ball with this camper. Can he have the address of the hotel we're staying in? He's going to drive it over after the game is over. And Vikachave, he did that. He dropped the ball at our hotel, and he gave it to me, and the next morning I gave it to the kid. And I thought the kid was over it. I really did. But when the kid got that ball, he was so touched and so happy because Rabbi Trapp really cared. There's caring, and then there's caring. Echa esalavadi. It's too much. But because it's too much, it's only too much because Moshe cared so much. Moshe's caring so much is what preserved and save and sustain the Jewish people. Those are people we need to emulate. Those are people we need to look up to. Echa esalavadi is so much better than Echa yashva badad. Because I think with Echa yashva badad, much like Adam Harishon, there is an ayeka question to it. Where are you, God wants to know the Jewish people. Where are you to the Beis HaMikdash? Where are you to Yerushalayim? I think that's a question that we ask. I don't think there's an ayeka that's tied into Moshe Rabbeinu and Echa Salavadi. I think with Moshe Rabbeinu, there's the comfort of knowing, Beseder, the Jewish people are in good hands and they're in a good place. There's no looking, where is Moshe? There is no looking, where are the people? Everybody is fine. But the reason everybody is fine is because Moshe cared so much. Have a great day.